Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to a Friday, barely. Welcome to the program. Already in progress. A lot to recap from last night and look ahead to not only Saturday, but Sunday as well. We'll talk to the former Heisman Trophy winner, Matt Leinart, a little bit later on. Rodney Harrison, the former Patriot great, now working for Football Night in America. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk will join us as well. Phone number is 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. If you're watching on Peacock, we thank you, our streaming partner. You can download the app, watch for free. Our radio affiliates, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio. Any stat of the day on the program brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. And our good friends at Discover, redeeming your rewards for cash in any amount at any time. And that's amazing. Learn more at discover.com/redeem rewards. The investigation over Tua Tagovailoa re-entering Sunday's game just became a whole lot more important after what happened last night. The NFL's done a lot to mitigate the risk of head injuries. It's been well documented. There have been lawsuits. There have been hundreds of millions of dollars paid out. But football is a violent sport. Players were forced to wear guardian caps this preseason. The league has tried to crack down on helmet-to-helmet contact. But last night, Tua Tagovailoa suffered a scary head injury. And the league has taken concussions and other head injuries seriously for years. But after last night, the NFL's concussion protocol should be in question. And if you're just picking up the story now, you're midway through the story. You should have been picking up the story on Sunday in the game against the Buffalo Bills. So he suffers an injury. I thought it was a concussion. I thought the reaction, the signs, the symptoms were a concussion. This is Sunday. And even if it wasn't, and I did pose this question. Let's say it wasn't a concussion, but the end result was him standing up and then stumbling again, and his teammates had to hold him up. Let's just say whatever the injury was, it brought about that reaction. There was no outcry from that injury causing that reaction, those symptoms, to keep him out of last night's game. Let's just take concussion off the table. Okay, it's a back injury. I just kept hearing, well, it wasn't a concussion. Okay, if it's not a concussion and your star player reacted that way, what does this mean? spine injury, neck injury, head injury. He wobbled. I've seen fighters that react that way. Not my quarterback. And not 4 days later. That's where I wanted to know, where are the grown-ups in the room? Somebody needed attention. It's not a concussion. We're going to have a doctor and an independent doctor, and he's cleared and he's back in. Okay. He did come back in, seemed to be okay. Then there's last night. So 4 days later, playing and suffered a concussion. Got thrown to the ground. NFL Players Association was already investigating. And now they got even more to investigate. You're watching this and you're wondering, okay, medically cleared 4 days later. Has anybody brought up the severity of a back injury that could force you, cause you to react that way, stumble that way? That's all I ask. I'm not a doctor. There's going to be a lot of people playing doctor on radio and TV today and probably last night. There could be a coincidence of what happened on Sunday and then last night, and they're not attached to one another. I guess I have to factor that in. Maybe he did have a back injury. I know he had a concussion. I'm not even sure if he should have been flying last night. I don't know if there's swelling on the brain. You got a concussion. There's no doubt about that. And then he's going to get on the plane, what, 3 or 4 hours later after coming out of a Cincinnati hospital? Could you leave him overnight for observation? These are just normal questions that I have. You got 10 days off. How about we slow the process here a little bit? How about we look at what happened? How about we judge this in the moment of, let's keep him overnight here? I'm guessing everybody was like, all right, you know, we did everything we were supposed to do on Sunday. Okay. Nobody's answered the question. What happened that would lead you to have that reaction where you're stumbling and you appear to be out on your feet? You're grabbing your helmet. You've got cobwebs. You're shaking your helmet. And then you go to the sidelines. Now, he doesn't have a concussion. He's got a back injury. What is it about the back injury that created that? Is that a one-off? Hey, that's one of those fluke things? I've yet to hear any explanation other than he didn't have a concussion. Hey, went through concussion protocol. And I don't know how Tua felt. I don't know if he lied about it. Drew Brees yesterday said he lied about it all the time so he could stay in the game. I understand. I understand that mentality. Did anybody think maybe Tua shouldn't have played last night? Anybody? That's the problem I have. And Richard Sherman at halftime, Richard Sherman was one of the analysts for Amazon. Amazon may have overcovered the injury during the game and undercovered the injury at halftime. And, you know, people said, oh, you can't be showing all those replays. It is a news story. Okay? It is a news story. And I've been involved in these shows. I was at the Olympics when an Olympian died. How many times do you show something where somebody has died? But Tua and the reaction and his fingers, that's a story. That's a news story that's happening. And I understand, you know, you got some veterans who were doing that game last night. Al Michaels as the play-by-play voice. Fred Godelli, who's done Sunday Night Football, is their executive producer. They know what they're doing. But we got to halftime, and they didn't cover the story. They covered the reaction of the people who were on the set to the story, which I don't care. And did you cover Sunday's story to then follow up with last night at halftime? Because you can't separate the two. And this isn't to bang on Amazon's halftime show. They didn't do a good job. Because you should have, that should have been your halftime show. Tua Sunday leads us to Thursday. Richard Sherman, you have criticized Thursday Night Football when you played. Should he have been playing? Did anybody have any thoughts about this prior to? Ryan Fitzpatrick, you played the position. They should have brought in Michael Smith, who's a journalist. They didn't bring him in until the end of the game, post-game. They didn't play the Sunday hit until the fourth quarter. Cover the story. Be fair to the story. Ask questions about this. There's a reason why the commissioner doesn't come on this show, because I asked some goddamn questions here. And people have to ask questions. This is serious with what happened to Tua. But go back to Sunday and take me step by step through this. Just so I understand this. I railed on this. I asked this question. I kept saying, okay, no concussion. That guy should not be playing football 4 days later. And it's not like I'm waiting till after the fact Friday to talk about Sunday. He should not have been playing last night. God, I got to look at, you know, we talk about these careers. I've been doing this so long, I see somebody when they start and when they finish. And I hope Tua has a 15-year career. But you got to protect a player from himself. They all lie to stay in a game. I told you the story about Hines Ward. Got hit. He got rocked. He knew he had a concussion. He grabbed his ankle so he could try to stay in the game. Guys have concussions. I know if Tua had come out and said on Tuesday, you know what, I've been medically cleared, but I don't feel comfortable playing, we'd probably be criticizing him. Oh, come on. Man up. You know, the greats play. Okay. I get it. I just want to know. That was an injury that led to that video that I saw, that reaction, those symptoms. And that would really, really cause me for concern. And then last night, if he didn't run any risk of flying home, I still would have kept him in the hospital. I'm guessing you got swelling on the brain. It was just frustrating. It really was last night. But didn't we see this coming? All right. Get some phone calls here. You know, the head of the NFL Players Association vows to pursue every legal option regarding the handling of Tua's injury on Sunday. Well, that's okay. That's Sunday. What about last night? Was there anybody in the room who maybe he shouldn't play? I'm just curious about that. All right, Paulie, what do you have for me?
Dan, so anyone could go on NFL.com and see the step-by-step protocol, the NFL's concussion protocol from before the game, during the game, after the game. The one thing that really stood out with Sunday is they have a category called observable signs. If you observe, if the team medical doctors or the independent doctor that the NFL has on every NFL sideline observes certain things, he should be brought back for further, evaluation. One of them is if a player has balance, gait difficulties, motor incoordination, stumbling, slow, labored movements. Yeah. And when he got up from that hit, even if it was his back, as you said, that's one that you check the box, yes. And then you would keep him in the locker room for further evaluation.
David Hyde, who covers the Dolphins, he's a columnist, the Florida Sun Sentinel, is going to join us. And he spoke with a person who is well-versed in concussions, Chris Lewinsky. Chris Lewinsky, I'll give you the background here, a neurologist, co-founder and CEO of the Concussion Foundation associated with Boston University. So Chris Lewinsky, the university's chronic trauma center. He's been in studio with us before. He tweeted this. This is a disaster. This is before the game. This is a disaster. Fire the medical staffs and coaches. I predicted this, and I hate that I'm right. Two concussions in 5 days can kill somebody. This can end careers. How are we so stupid in 2022? early Friday morning, and Tua now being released from the hospital, flying back to South Florida with the Dolphins. People die from this every year. Somebody needs to be fired. He did tweet before this game that Tua should never play in this game. He shouldn't be playing in this game. 4 hours before the kickoff, Chris Nowinski tweeted, if Tua takes the field tonight, it's a massive step back for concussion care in the NFL. If he has a second concussion that destroys his season or career, everyone involved will be sued and should lose their jobs, coaches included. We all saw it. Even they must know this isn't right. Head coach of the Miami Dolphins, Mike McDaniel, had this to say.
All of his teammates, myself, we were all very, very concerned. So the best news that we could get is that everything is checked out, that he didn't have anything more serious than a concussion. He'll be flying back with us here on the plane.
Here's Mike McDaniel, the Dolphins head coach, on a brain specialist for Tua.
There's an independent specialist that specializes in the specialty of brain matter. So for me, as long as I'm coaching here, I'm not going to fudge that whole situation.
Okay. I appreciate that. What was the back injury that would have led to that result with Tua on Sunday? Just help me understand that. And if the team cleared him and an independent doctor cleared him, okay. I just want to know how somebody could be out on their feet shaking their head. Hey, it's not a concussion. Okay. It still led to that. Well, hopefully it's not that serious. That is, you know, he's got 10 days to get ready for his next game. It was just frustrating to watch that. I didn't think he should have been playing. And this is before the fact, because I didn't have answers here. I was waiting to hear answers. I didn't. And this is a quick turnaround Thursday night on the road against Cincinnati. And maybe it's just a coincidence. What happened last night and what happened on Sunday, they're not connected. Maybe. As a journalist, I have to factor that in. But as a journalist, I have to ask some damn questions here. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Sunday night, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs go to Tampa, battling Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, Sunday 7 Eastern on NBC and Peacock. Part of NBC Football Night in America, Rodney Harrison, two-time Super Bowl champ with the Patriots, and maybe one day he'll get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, or at least be a finalist, because I think there's only two players in NFL history who have had at least 30 sacks and 30 interceptions. One is Rodney Harrison. I think the other one is Ray Lewis. Does that sound right, Paulie?
That sounds right.
All right. Let's bring in Rodney Harrison, who joins us now. Rodney, what's your question that you have today with what you saw the last couple of days with Tua Tagovailoa?
Dan, I tell you, man, I was at a football game, my son's football game last night, when I was watching it on my phone. And, man, my heart dropped when I saw that kid land on a football field and he was just frozen and his hands were stuck like this. It scared the living crap out of me. And I played in this game 15 years and I've had multiple concussions where I hit somebody, the stadium was spinning, I didn't know where I was at, so that's considered a concussion. But nothing like that has ever happened to me. And I don't know how you come back on a football field after that happens to you. We're talking about this kid's life. We're talking about myself as well as so many other football players that I know, friends of mine that live here in Atlanta, that suffer from CTE, that suffer from depression, that suffer from light sensitivity, that suffer, and it affects their relationship with their kids and their parents. This is something serious. There's no way in the world this kid should go back into football on a football field in the next week or so, Dan. This is dead serious.
Well, I go back to Sunday, Rodney, and, okay, they told me it was a back injury, but, I mean, he certainly displayed symptoms of having a concussion. He was out on his feet. So what did you see as a former player? If you saw your teammate react like that, and how surprised would you be that he was going to be able to come back into a game?
I would have been shocked. And you talk about me, a guy that was very physical, flying around. And when I saw him, I just thought it was a concussion. I said, man, get down, because it's a concussion. But then they said it was a back problem. But the way he stumbled, it was more mental. It was more neurological. So I don't know what they're doing, if they're doing anything funny with this kid's life. But at the end of the day, eventually one day he's going to walk away from football and he's going to have a life. He's going to have wife and kids, and he's going to have to sustain a normal life. And when you get hit upside the head like that, and when you fall down, and when you're basically paralyzed for 30 seconds or whatever it was, it's going to affect your quality of life later on.
How often would you lie when you got hurt?
Every single time. And you don't get to the level of what Tua got to and accomplish the things that he's accomplished in his career without lying, without basically saying, no, I'm good. No, I'm good. It's my back. These players are smart. They know if they say anything that's wrong with their head, they know they're coming out the game. They know they're going to miss a series or two or possibly the entire game. So the first thing they do, oh, it's not my head. It's my back. It's my ankle. It's my shoulder. And, you know, I would have been one of those guys too. But I just know sitting here turning 50 this year that I'm looking at this young man and saying, man, he's got so much potential for the rest of his life. He doesn't need to be out on that football field like that.
But he might have lied to the medical staff and said that it was his back. I mean, the player does play a role. Drew Brees said he lied all the time when he got hurt. You're saying that he lied all the time.
And you know what they should do? They should start bringing former guys like me and those guys that lie, bring them in there and talk to the guys and talk to them about the quality of life that we have right now. Yeah, we're doing okay financially and things like that. But at the end of the day, it's more than just, you know, money. It's being able to communicate, being able to sustain relationships and have friends and things like that.
Yeah, but I'm talking to Rodney as a dad who's 50 years of age. If I talk to Rodney as a 24-year-old, you're going to do what Tua did.
Exactly. But that's my whole point, Dan. Okay. That's why you need guys like me, old school guys that used to lie, to come in and say, hey, guys, you shouldn't be lying about this. This is your life. This is your brain. This is, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Man. Yeah. But what was the protocol? Did you ever lie to Belichick and just say, I'm good? I'm staying in the game?
Yeah, all the time. And I stayed in the game. And if I didn't have anything major like an ACL or a pulled hamstring or a groin or something like that, there's no way you're taking me out of the football game, because we're just wired a certain way. We're wired to be able to go out there, hit. We know we're going to be in a little pain. They talk to you all the time about toughness and your ability to, you know, stay in the game. And that's what football players do, man. You know, if it's a head injury, we're staying in the game. If it's something lower extremity that we can't control, we're coming out the game.
I tell this story all the time that, a player said that he got his bell rung. Hines Ward, I've said his name before. He, you know, takes a hit against the Ravens. He knows he's concussed. He grabs his ankle. He's smart enough to know that I'm going to grab my ankle and try to stay in the game because I got hurt. My bell is rung. And then he said he went to the sidelines. They had to hide his helmet from him.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this, Dan. When you wake up after all those years of playing over a decade in the National Football League, and now you're in your 40s and you're close to your 50s, you sit back and you reflect on those moments that, you know, you didn't come out the game, that you lied. Because it's affecting. You wake up and you're depressed. You wake up and you're sad. You wake up and you're going through all these different mental and emotional things. That's where it affects you later on in life. And that's my biggest concern with these guys.
But are you speaking from experience?
Absolutely, 100%. That's the only way I can speak. I can't speak upon
but
this.
You go through depression.
We all go through depression. Anytime you play football and you have CTE, yeah, we all go through a form of depression, but it's about how you take care of yourself. But yeah, we go through a brevity of emotions and things like that. That's why I say a lot of times when you have CTE, when you're dealing with guys that have been concussed, it's hard to maintain certain relationships. It's hard to establish new relationships. A lot of times you don't even want to go out the house. And that's my concern with Tua and the rest of these guys, their lifestyle when they're done playing football. Because think about it. If you're fortunate enough, you'll play 8 to 10 years. And when you turn 30, you're concussed. You can't focus. You can't do certain things. So that's my biggest concern with these guys, letting them know, man, it's okay to sit out a game or two if you have to make sure that your brain is taken care of and make sure that you have the quality of life that you deserve later on.
He's Rodney Harrison, Football Night in America analyst, former Patriot. It'll be his former teammate Tom Brady battling Patrick Mahomes, the Buccaneers hosting the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. Biggest question going into that football game is what for you?
Pressure. You know, anytime you're going up against Tom, you got to get that pressure to tear that defense. I look at Kansas City and they have a bunch of pass rushers, Carlos Dunlap and Chris Jones and all those guys, Frank Clark. They got to get after Tom. If they can get after Tom, and Steve Spagnuolo, he's had success against Tom, their defensive coordinator, beat him in the Super Bowl. He's had success against Tom. If they can hit Tom and rattle Tom, especially going against that inexperienced offensive line, force them to communicate, show him a bunch of different looks, I think they can have success.
Do you think we have addictions? You know, there's a lot of different addictions we have. And I wonder, is Brady addicted to football or competition? Like, is it something that is more than just, I love doing this, I'm addicted to it?
Well, I think a lot of guys are like built like Tom Brady, but a lot of guys couldn't do the things that Tom did for such a long time because Tom just has an extraordinary amount of discipline, obviously. And it's just tough to get to that level. I mean, he's a quarterback. He sustained for a long time. Most guys can't get to that point because, like I said, you know, we're trying to get there, but we get old. But yeah, there's definitely an addiction there. There's definitely an obsession there with just being great. But also there's a certain level of enjoyment, like going through the week with your teammates and riding the plane with them and getting on the bus and having certain conversations. Those are the things that you really cherish and you embrace. And, you know, Tom's fortunate enough to play over 20 years in this league. He continues to do that. And but yeah, definitely an obsession, Dan. You got to be obsessed to be, you know, to be on a level with Tom Brady.
How would you have dealt with Tyreek Hill as a defensive back?
You know, probably just jam him at the line of scrimmage, keep a safety on top of him. But I look at Kansas City and they did the right thing. I mean, everybody, why would you get rid of Tyreek Hill? No, why would you pay a wide receiver $30 million a year? It's the dumbest thing. I don't care who you are. I'm not paying you $30 million a year. So it was a smart move to let him walk and get these other guys. These other guys, they're not great, Dan, but they're serviceable. And that's why you pay Matt Patrick Mahomes the type of money you pay him so he can make these other guys better. And I thought it was a smart move getting rid of Tyreek.
Yeah, you know, we look at these quarterbacks, and a lot of times these quarterbacks make their receivers better. Tom certainly did that in New England. I mean, he had Gronk, who is a Hall of Famer, but there were other guys who, you know, were good receivers. Tom made them, elevated them, it felt like. Rodgers maybe does that a little bit. Now Mahomes is going to have to do that in Kansas City. But can they be a better offense without Tyreek Hill?
I don't think they could be a better offense or a more dangerous offense or a more explosive offense. I think they're going to be a different offense. I think it's going to require patience. It's going to require continued communication and meetings and things like that. I mean, you look at Tyreek Hill, when he gets on the football field as a defense and as a defensive coordinator, he scares you. He scares you. I don't care if you have two guys on you, because how many times, Dan, have we seen Patrick Mahomes throw the ball 50 yards down the field? You got two defensive backs and Tyreek Hill, the smallest guy on the field, comes up with it. And they don't have the ability like they did before for Tyreek to catch a 7-yard slant and take it 60 yards to the house. That puts the fear of God into people when you're out there on that football field. Now you don't have to deal with it. I don't think it'll become a more dangerous offense. I just think that it's going to be a different offense.
But would you rather go against a wide receiver who was an unbelievable route runner, somebody who was big, physical, or somebody who could just fly? Give me the receiver that gives you the most trouble.
To me, it's the guy that's an excellent route runner that can put pressure on you, because you don't know if he's going deep. You don't know if it's going to be a comeback, an out route, a corner route. You don't know what he's running because he's such an excellent route runner. I played against guys like James Jett and really fast guys for the Raiders that, you know, we basically said, hey, we're going to give this guy any curl route, any short or intermediate route. We can't allow him to beat us deep. And as far as Tyreek Hill, a guy like that, you just got to get your hands on them. You have to have someone spy them and just keep somebody on top. And every time that little joker catches the ball, you got to punish him. You got to hit him, Dan. You got to punish him. And you got to take that smile off his face.
Okay, but Calvin Johnson. How much trouble with Calvin Johnson?
Calvin Johnson was a monster, man. He was big. He was long. And those 50-50 balls, we talk about that. And I feel bad for him, man, because he played for such a crummy team for such a long time. And we don't realize how good he truly is. Yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame. But people don't understand how great of a football player this dude was. He was big, super athletic, and he was a bully. But he was a humble bully. But, yeah, Calvin Johnson, all props to him.
Where does Rodney rank on the all-time playoff interception list?
Career playoff interceptions, Rodney Harrison is third, tied for third all-time with 7. The only people ahead of him are guys like Ed Reed, Ronnie Lott, Willie Brown, Hall of Fame,
Okay.
Lester Hayes.
Yeah, you're good company there, Rod.
Hey, man, it's – hey, Dan, let me tell you something, brother. It happens when it happens, right?
Okay.
It's never late.
Have you heard feedback on why you haven't been a finalist for the Hall of Fame?
Dan, I don't go searching for that stuff.
No, no, I didn't know if, like, Peter King would say –
Listen to me. Peter King doesn't even have my back, and that was supposed to be my homeboy.
Wait, he doesn't believe you're a Hall of Famer?
I mean, he's never said anything to me, and I've worked with him a long time. But it's all good. I mean, I'm not worried about that. I got love for Peter King. Dan, it's one of those things. I don't go searching for it. If it happens, it's going to happen when it's supposed to happen, if it's going to happen. If not, hey, man, I got my two Super Bowl rings. I'm able to take care of my family, and life is pretty good.
But you got Belichick, who talks about how great you were. Like, your name was first when he brought up great players who played for him. So,
Dan, if you and the guys are sitting in a room, and I've done all the things I can possibly do,
yeah,
you know, on a football field, what else can I do? I'm not going to go around begging and parading or anything like that, man. I just, if it happens, fine. If it doesn't, I'm okay with it. I know what I represented. I know the people that I've impacted. And that's the most important thing for me.
Well, I think Hines Ward came out and he got feedback as to why he's not in the Hall of Fame. That Hines Ward always felt like he was a Hall of Famer. You played
against I felt like Hines Ward is definitely a Hall of Famer. You talk about one of the toughest, one of the most dependable guys that put fear in you is Hines Ward. I mean, one of the most physical, if not the most physical all time. Like, who's tougher than Hines Ward? And, you know, I'm not in that room, so I don't know. I go down to the Hall of Fame game, and I got 50 Hall of Famers, you know, coming up to me. Oh, man, you're going to be in the Hall of Fame. Hey, man, I've been talking about you in the Hall of Fame, and I'm looking at them like, hey, man, I'm just here enjoying myself. You know, everyone looks at me like I'm so desperate to get in the Hall of Fame, and it's just not the case.
Who was dirtier, you or Hines Ward?
Hines was my offense. He was my offensive twin.
Maybe go in together and then hit each other on stage. That'd be great.
Hey, Dan, but I'm going to tell you this. The cool part about Hines and I, our relationship, we would play against each other, and I will jog on the field, and I'm like, Hines, what kind of day is going to be, man? What we good? Because if you give me a cheap shot, I'm coming for you, bro. I don't care if it costs me $100,000, $200,000. I'm coming for you.
Wait, how much did the Jerry Rice hit cost you? $100,000?
It cost me a game check back then, which was in the 90s. It was about $122,000.
And it was worth it.
Absolutely. You can't miss what you never had. I never had that money in my bank account, so screw it. I'm going to knock Jerry Rice's head off. And Jerry is my man, but he's got to pay the price, too.
Yeah. Game across. He paid the price. You paid the price.
Absolutely.
Hey, great to talk to you again. My best to the guys on Football Night in America.
Thank you, Dan. Fitz, good to see you, man.
It's Rodney Harrison, NBC Football Night in America, and they got the Buccaneers and the Chiefs. That'll be Sunday night. They start at 7 Eastern. Take a break. We'll get the phone calls coming up, and I think we're going to hear from Matt Leinart coming up next hour. Fritzy's working on that. We're back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, and you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. answer one important question. How did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fox Big Noon Kickoff. It'll be the Big Noon Kickoff. The gang is in Iowa City. Iowa will host number 4-ranked Michigan on Saturday, a rematch of the 2021 Big Ten Championship game. Part of the gang there is Matt Leiner, the former NFL quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner. How's morale, Matt?
Morale's good. I'm good. You know, flight canceled last night, got stuck in Minneapolis, just got to Iowa City, Dan, but I'm doing good, man. I'm happy to be on with you. And I have, before we start, a buddy has got a bone to pick with you.
Oh, okay.
My host, Rob Stone.
Yeah.
I think you might have went after him a little bit a couple of weeks ago. He told me to tell you what's the deal, man.
Well, he does have my number, and he did text me, and he said, I hear you.
What? Yeah, he said you lost his number.
No.
He said he lost his number.
Nope. He texted me and he said, I hear you're coming after me. And I go, yep, I guess I did. And that's it. I'm not afraid. If you're afraid, buy a dog. I just said, you had Urban Meyer there in Nebraska, pressed him a little bit on, Coach, are you interested in Nebraska? Would you be interested in Nebraska? So that's all. As a host on Host Crime, that's all that is, Matt.
I'm with you. Listen, it was interesting because, you know, we are very well aware of some of the fan bases who are going to make it difficult for Urban, in particular last week. But I'll tell you what, Nebraska, I mean, those fans, I mean, there were shirts, they were chants from the minute we started that show, we want Urban. And it was actually pretty funny. But I can tell you now, Dan, that he's got no interest in that job. That's for sure.
Why?
I think he's done. I think he's done. This is my opinion. We've talked even before he took the Jacksonville job last year, and he really he really confided in Brady Quinn and myself. I know Brady's a guest of the show often, and we talked about just the NFL gig, and obviously it didn't work out for him, and we know the year that he had and the difficulties and the challenges. But I don't know. I just think it was kind of a last try to see if he could do it at the NFL level. And I will say, I know he loves this job, being on TV. We got a great group of guys. I think he has the trust of all of us. I think he just feels a different way. But I mean, you never say never,
Well, I wonder, Steve Spurrier failed miserably in Washington and then went back and coached at South Carolina. I just thought, and I was told, if there's an opening at Arizona State, that would be a smarter move for Urban, because you could kind of go in there, and if the Pac-12 still exists, USC's right out of there, UCLA's out of there, maybe you could, get 10, 11 wins there. And it felt like that was a sleeping giant, my source said, Arizona State. What do you think?
For anybody, I still think the weather, the geographically, you're close to California, Texas on the other side, and the way with college football expansion, and there's actually, it's an interesting, because USC and UCLA are leaving, and I'm sure they're not the only ones when it's all said and done, but there's a real path now with expansion for a Pac-12 champion to get in, and it's almost a path that's a lot easier. So it's kind of schools like Oregon and Washington, who are obviously, on the up and up. A school like Arizona State, I mean, gosh, we had our battles with them. Dennis Erickson was great there. Todd Graham won 10 games there per year. You can recruit there. There's good players in Arizona, too, in the state. You got Hamilton High, Chandler High. I mean, I lived there for 4 years. It was pretty good high school football. So I don't know if it's a sleeping giant, but I do think it's a place where you can turn around and you can be competitive and you can win, in particular with the path now to the playoff in the future.
You got Michigan and you got Iowa. Feels like Iowa every year has one of those wins where you go, oh, man, Kirk Ferentz, he can still coach. Is that this game on Saturday?
I'll tell you what. It's really difficult to watch them on film, especially their offense. I mean, I don't need to tell you this, but it's a rock fight every time they're on the offensive side of the ball. And it's you know what? I respect Coach Ferentz is great. He's a great man. He's a great coach. He's legendary. He just doesn't care. We always joke in production meetings, we're just like, they will win 7-3 and they won't give a damn. Like that's a great game, guys. We'll go, next, it's just how they are. And it's no different. I'll tell you what, this team, it's the same thing as you expect. Their punter, Torrey Taylor, is a stud. And I know punting and special teams don't get a lot of play, but he has a huge impact for this team and should this weekend. Their defense is really, really good. Like, that defense is legit every year. They give Ohio State fits. I mean, they're obviously they struggled last year in the Big Ten championship game, but I think it'll be a really good game. I don't know what the line is. I think it might be 10. Is it 10?
10, 10 and a half.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I really believe that. I don't know if Iowa can generate enough points, but that defense will keep them in the game. But it's painful to watch at times.
Name, image, and likeness is always something that's there for these schools, and it feels like the bigger the school, the more riches, the more opportunities for everybody. But if name, image, and likeness was around when you guys were at USC, could you have kept everybody together at USC and maybe another year? I don't know. And not to get into Reggie Bush and his Heisman as much as just you guys were rock stars there. But I wonder what that would have done to that team, given the fact that there could have been some great monetary gains for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a question I get asked a lot now that NIL is legal. I stayed all 5 years, so I would have been forced out, obviously. But yeah, I just think, you know, Pete had such a, we had such a great run. I mean, gosh, the from recruiting, national recruiting, winning, and obviously, you know, Reggie had, you know, his deal, and that set back USC for a handful of years, just how it was handled, how NCAA handled it. And clearly Reggie is still feeling the repercussions of that with the Heisman and all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, USC is, I mean, it's LA. I mean, it's LA, the market. And now, I mean, you could fast forward it to those years, but you fast forward to now what Lincoln Riley has a chance to do and the resources he's going to have. And knowing that when USC is when they're back, and you know they're not back yet, but when they're winning and it's fun and people are excited, and especially going to the Big Ten, like the exposure that will bring them and the competitive value that will bring to that school, I'm telling you what, USC is primed to really kind of elevate themselves back into what we were 20 years ago. NIL, I mean, I can't even imagine. I mean, I get asked all the time, like, well, how much money would you have made? I stayed in college, but gosh, if I was a sophomore, junior, I probably would have stayed in college to make the amount of money that I could have made for sure.
Who's the person who showed up at practice or on the sidelines and you went, oh my God, such and such is here watching?
You know, we had, it's so funny. I was actually at USC practice. Last week, I did a sit down with Caleb Williams this past week. So I was at the tail end and I was talking to a couple of security guards. And when we were there, Pete had open practices. Every once in a while, it'd be okay, Friday or whatever it was, he would close the practice. But, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever it was, we'd have 3,000, I mean, we'd have legit 3,000 people at practice. And it started getting a little dicey when, you know, agents, and at that time there started to be, you know, marketing guys showing up. And that's when I know Pete was a little like, okay, we got to slow this down a little bit, because he started, you know, those types of people were showing up. But to answer your question, I mean, gosh, the stories. I mean, Will Ferrell came out all the time. Snoop Dogg came out all the time. Jerry Bruckheimer was in our locker room like weekly. I mean, he's the USC guy. You know, he's in our locker room. I mean, it was, I've said this before, and I might've said this on the show, but like, it just was normal. It really was. It was like, it was normal. It was every day for us. It was every day was thousands of people. Celebrities were there. The sidelines were packed with people. Pete embraced it because he knew what that did for USC recruiting and all those. He was not stupid. But we also handled our business. I tell everybody, I'm like, listen, you could paint this picture of how we were and we partied, which we didn't, but we partied every night. Like, it didn't matter. We showed up and we kicked everyone's butt for pretty much for a long time, except a couple teams, you know. So we always handled our business.
I think he had a concussion against Arizona State. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
I don't know what you thought when you watched two on Sunday and what you saw last night, but from personal experience, what can you relate to those situations?
Well, first, gosh, just scary. Really, really scary. And we know, I mean, concussions are nothing to play around with. And Tua, especially, gosh, just the, you know, this is, you know, the injury history, you know, with the hip a couple of years ago and then concussions. First, I just hope he's okay. I've been kind of following the reports. I know he got released from the hospital and everybody was kind of up in arms. Why is he being released so early? Again, I'm not a doctor. I've had a significant concussion against Arizona State where I was literally, I was stayed in the game because then there wasn't protocol and I wasn't coming out. And you know that, I mean, as an athlete, you're not coming out unless you absolutely just can't perform. I remember just a little bit off top. I remember it was a run play and I went to the opposite side and I got sacked for like an 8-yard loss. And Pete was like, are you good? And I said, yeah, I'm good. And then I ended up getting my bearings and ended up being okay. But that was then, you know, this is a different world now. And seeing the hit from the Bills game, clearly he was concussed. To what extent, you know, that's something that doctors evaluate. And that's something that Tua only feels. I just would say this. And again, I'm like there's a process and there's layers to concussion protocol, and I can't imagine the Dolphins didn't follow that Sunday. I don't know. Again, it's just speculation, and I could be wrong, but I just can't imagine that they didn't go through the layers of the team doctor, the third party doctors, the trainers, and all of that in order for him to get cleared to play. But that being said, last night was really scary to see him, and obviously the fingers and that shot is still sketched in my mind. I hope he's okay. I'm sure there. I know there's going to be an investigation, all those things. So, but from personal experience, it's scary. I've played with one. I've had the lasting effects of one for months after a season. It's nothing to play around with, and I hope he's okay. And I hope that they just do their due diligence and make sure that when he's okay, like he's cleared to play, and he's good to go. But it was scary, man, last night.
He's Matt Leinart, Fox Big Noon kickoff, Michigan and Iowa. What are you doing with Hall of Goats?
Yeah, so it's been a fun little project, big project for me this year with NIL. I got approached by a former teammate of mine, Greg Carlson, actually part of those USC teams. He was building. He's a kind of the blockchain, Web3, this whole crypto. He's kind of a tech background and really kind of dove into this the last couple of years. We are currently building a Web3 blockchain college football video game that will serve serve NIL, will serve college football players. Think kind of the old school, you know, NFL Blitz, the arcade style, NBA Jam, where it's fun and a lot of, you know, taunting and just fun, you know, fun arcade style. So we're in development for that currently. We're signing current players to NIL deals currently. We have some legendary former players on board, and the game will launch next year. So we got a while, but you'll see some drops coming out this fall with some of our current players and some trailers and all that. So it felt like a real natural way for me to sort of get my hands involved in NIL and do it in a way where I know that I can help these players make money and do it in a right way and do it in a fun way. As you know, it's a wild business right now, and there's a lot of gray area, and there's a lot of good people, there's a lot of bad people, and I lived it, and I was obviously a part, as you mentioned, a part of the teams that probably could have really benefited off of it. So it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun to be a part of this, kind of on that side. Clearly, the Big Noon stuff is awesome, man. And, you know, just trying to staying busy, Dan. You know, just doing a lot of stuff.
Tell Rob Stone to stop being soft, okay?
You know, he is, man. He's soft as they come. Maybe just shoot him a text. You know, I think he feels left out. Shoot him a text, and I'll whoop him into shape this weekend.
No, I'll when I go to commercial break, I'll send him a text to say, got Liner to do your dirty work here? You're soft.
I was texting this morning with your producer, and I'm just like, he was like, yeah, he came after me a couple weeks ago, you know, all fun and games. I'm like, all right, I'll give you a shout out, man. We'll talk a little smack about you, buddy.
Hey, it wasn't fun and games on my part, Matt. I'm trying to teach the next generation how to do the job. I got Urban Meyer right there. They're chanting for Urban Meyer. Urban, are you interested in Nebraska? That's all. That's what this is all about, Matt.
He needs to be kept in line, man. So I'm happy you did that.
He's soft. And don't make me fly to Iowa City, because I'll do that if I got to.
Listen. He played. I might get in trouble. He's soccer. You know, he played soccer. You know, he's a little soft. So
yeah, he is. I think he was a yell leader for the football team in high school. I think he had, you know, like a sweater, white pants, and he would yell. Yeah, that's what Rob Stone.
The funny thing is I can totally visualize that.
Yeah. He's a typical pretty boy. Yeah, absolutely. But you can tune into the Fox Noon kickoff, and you can see how soft Rob Stone is when he hosts that show. Matt, good to have you back. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
And that's Matt Leinart, Fox's Big Noon kickoff. See, Rob Stone, you want somebody to do your dirty work. Be careful what you ask for. Want to play with fire, Scarecrow?
You'll go to Iowa City.
I will go to Iowa City right after this show if I need to.
That'd be great if you showed up.
That would be kind of awesome.
You start calling out Rob Stone and you ask Urban Meyer, what about Arizona State?
Yeah, you want Arizona State? Yeah. What about Nebraska, coach?
Rob Stone used to be a PA, production assistant, at ESPN when I was doing SportsCenter. And happy for his success. A good guy.
He won't hear any of that.
Soft,
part.
Though. Oh, yeah, he won't get any of that passed on to him. And then he said, you're a really nice guy. Been to his house, got to see his family, his crib, got it, his dog, the whole thing. Soft.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.